From the president's call to Ukraine to his call for religious freedom, we've got you covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are going to get back to the world of politics today, but pressing issues that also tie in with religious freedom. Welcome to the broadcast, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Before we get into today's subject matter, just a quick comment about yesterday's show. And want to let you know why I just took one call in the midst of the show. I was explaining yesterday why, at least for the indefinite future, I'm done responding to the critics of the charismatic movement. I've done it often to try to help bring understanding, to help many of you who follow us that are not charismatic or Pentecostal yourself or maybe confused with certain things, and then just to try to bring unity because I believe each group on each side of issues can learn from the other and grow together. But there comes a point where it's just destructive, where it's a waste of time, where nothing is really gained, where it's a distraction. And I should have said distraction rather than destructive. That's the word I meant to say. But it's certainly not constructive. It can be a waste of time and not edifying and not really helping those that I want to help. So in any case, I spent the whole show talking about that, giving details and saying, look, by God's grace, we put a lot of material out. If you want to know what we believe, where we stand, by all means, take advantage of that. The radio shows, the books, the articles, they're out there for you. Well, you say, yeah, but you told folks to call in, critics could call, and you only took one call. I only got one call. You say, what? National show on internet, in an hour, you got one call? Yep, exactly. Well, it happens all the time. Now, Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. It's very common that the moment the show starts, I mean, at 3:03 Eastern Standard, the moment it starts, I look at the screen, all five lines that are lit up that we can take at any one moment, or there can be a six with a caller, everything lit up totally, boom, from beginning to end, all right? And then the moment a line opens, someone calls instantly. Many of you know, you said, yeah, I try to call on a Friday, I can never get through. And then other days, we'll open things up for controversial subjects, get lots of calls. But almost invariably, when I invite critics or dissenters to call, almost invariably, we get no calls or maybe one call. And I've done it. I've posted in advance. All right, I'm going to tackle this controversial subject. I'm asked about it all the time. I welcome your calls. We don't get a call. And then I'll go to a YouTube chat after. Okay, maybe you couldn't call. So you can just type in your question. They don't participate. Oh, they'll be posting comment after comment, blasting and attacking in the comment section or putting out their own videos or articles. So I open the door. All that to say, I open the door. And if you just watched yesterday's show and you have a comment or concern, like I said, I'm not going to be addressing the critics and the general issues that are posted and et cetera. But feel free to call. If you consider yourself a critic and want to call, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. All right. I do want to focus on the president's call for religious freedom worldwide, the significance of it, the historic nature of it. And again, it is one of the reasons that I voted for President Trump. I was very skeptical when he first said, look, he would defend our freedoms. And I even wrote an article saying, don't look to him to do it. I was very skeptical of how far he would go, and was he just looking for our votes? Whatever his initial motivation was, God knows, but he's proven himself there. It's why I voted for him, why I said, okay, I hope I'm wrong about some of my concerns. Many of my concerns, sadly, I was right, but it didn't take a rocket scientist to have those concerns. But again, overall, I voted for him for the good, concerned about the bad, but voted for him for the good. Well, what he did this week is historic, is massive. Could save many, many lives. And I can virtually assure you that, say, a suffering believer overseas whose family was being threatened with being killed for the faith, or as has happened, I know, for example, the state of Orissa, a pastor, they'll bring his family in front of him, wife, children, pour gasoline over them and say, deny Jesus or we set your family ablaze. Can you imagine? No, I mean, I can't. No matter how much I try to, I cannot imagine that. But I do imagine that if that family ended up being spared and the Hindu radicals had to push back because President Trump put pressure on Prime Minister Modi. I'm not saying he has put that pressure on him, but I hope it's coming and maybe behind the scenes some things have happened. Don't know. But my guess would be that that family that was spared would be very grateful to President Trump and very grateful to America and not really that concerned that Trump can misbehave in certain ways or exaggerate or lie. They'd say, look, the man saved my life. He's a political leader. He's going to be rough and tumble. I imagine that would be the greater sentiment. I'm not minimizing collateral damage from the president. I'm simply saying in the larger scheme of things, I think they'd rather have a man that fought for their freedoms, even if he could be abrasive and have a divisive effect in many ways. I think they'd rather have a man that would fight for their freedom than a nice, civil guy, very quiet, meek, and never rocks the boat and doesn't fight for them either. Just my opinion. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we get into that in greater depth, let's talk about Ukraine. Now, I'm just looking over at Twitter. Why didn't my tweet go out? I don't know what happened here. I posted on Twitter, have you been following the news of the president's call to Ukraine? Have you read the transcript? Is it a smoking gun or no big deal? And then I asked folks, indicate if you voted for Trump or not. So I don't know. All right, no, I want to discard the tweet. Okay, did the tweet go out or not? Let's see here. I thought I sent it out, but is it? No, it didn't post. Oh, come on. I was going to give you the results of the poll, so I'll have to do that during the next break. But if you've been following the news, this is big news, headline news everywhere. And some are saying, this is it, the big smoking gun. We got it. President's guilty, illegal activities on an international level, and the man must be impeached. Now, remember, impeach doesn't mean remove. Impeach means bring charges against, call for removal, and then removal is a separate vote. So President Clinton was impeached, but he wasn't removed. So some are saying this is it. Smoking gun, president's guilty, it's all there. Transcript, it's all there. The man's guilty, he's got to be impeached, get rid of him, and this is it. It's over for the president. Others are saying this exonerates the president, and it proves that the media is putting out fake news. Because what the media accused the president of doing and blackmailing and threatening to withhold financial and military support from Ukraine unless they looked into alleged scandals with the son of Vice President Joe Biden, that unless he did that, there's blackmail. Well, that never happened. And he simply said, hey, could you do me a favor and look into some of these things because we have some concerns, all right? And then others, kind of in between, like, well, it's not the way it was being reported, but it's not good. Now, I am no expert on international affairs or international law or presidential protocol. And the reason I talk about political issues is because as a minister of the gospel with a concern for the society and as one burden for a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, my interests intersect with the wider world. And we normally comment on things regarding the president and politics from that perspective, from the moral, cultural, spiritual perspective, as opposed to from a purely political perspective. And that's why we don't do mocking satires of any of the candidates, the people on either side. In the years when President Obama was leading our nation. So that's most of the history of this broadcast, right? I've been on live for 11 years plus. And when I first went on, it was during the primaries when it was Senator Obama versus Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton. And I was even weighing then how much to talk about political things and where the line should be drawn and trying to process that as a radio host. But you heard me for 8 years during the days of President Obama. I didn't get up and bash him every day. He was not my primary subject. And I would raise issues when there were moral, cultural issues that came up that concerned me. I would address them. And the same way with President Trump, you don't hear me singing his praises every day and the amazing president and this and that. We'll have honest discussions about all the relevant issues. So I'm just trying to process this here as an interesting American. I'm trying to process this here before God and understand what's going on. And did the president cross certain lines? So I've got to really get a better understanding, because this is going to be bounced around for days, weeks, months, right up to the 2020 elections, perhaps. We'll see. We'll see. And this is going to be a smoking gun that comes out against Joe Biden and Son Hunter. Is that going to be the issue? Or is this going to be exploited more as fake news to help the president? Or is this going to tip the scales against him in what could be a very close election anyway? We shall see. This much I do know. What was initially reported is apparently not true. Apparently not true. I say apparently based on the transcripts that have been released, that the alleged crimes committed by the president from the reports of the whistleblower were not true. Did he cross certain lines? Has he gone too far? Is this illegal, or if not illegal, unethical? Or is he saying, hey, we got some concerns. There's a new leader here in Ukraine. We want to be friends. But there's some things we think went on that are of concern to us. Could you do me a favor and look into them? And I think it would be in your best interest, too, and in our best interest if you did that. I don't know. Now, you may have an opinion, but your opinion may not be any better than mine. In other words, you may not know anything more than I know. All right. So my reason for doing a Twitter poll was I'm curious to see if this just plays out on party lines. In other words, will the votes overwhelmingly be those that voted for the president think no big deal? Those who didn't vote for the president think smoking gun, this is it. That's what I'm curious to see, how much this will just play out along the lines of partisan politics. All right. Hey, phone lines are open on anything you want to talk to me about, by the way. Not just talking about the president, not even just talking about yesterday's show. But if you have a random Bible question, I always try to give you extra time because it's often hard to get to us certain days of the week. So any question of any kind, or something you just want to unload on me, go ahead. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I realized what happened when the tweet didn't go live, but it is live now. So if you're on our Twitter page, that's DR, as in Dr. Michael L. Brown. That's the Twitter handle. Make sure you have two L's in the middle, Michael L. So DR, as in Dr. Michael L. Brown at Twitter. And let's see, as these votes come in, that's odd. No votes. How's that happen? We get votes into the moment we post the thing, the votes start pouring in. Well, we'll sort this out. Is it the devil trying to stop the poll? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, let's take some calls, and then we'll go back to talking about the president. And I do want to talk about his call for religious freedom. I will start with Michael in Corpus Christi, Texas. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Can you hear me?
Not the best. Are you talking straight into the phone?
Hold on. I'm on Bluetooth. Let me try to just go direct to the phone.
Yeah, it's much better. This way our listeners can hear you. There we go.
Can you hear me, sir?
Much better.
Okay, Dr. Brown, my question real quick. I'll try to be brief. What's the difference between you and Pastor Steven Anderson? Y'all are both against homosexuality. Y'all both hate the thugs, as they're called. So what's the difference? Y'all are both against it. Y'all are both fighting it. Y'all should join each other.
Are you serious with your question, or are you calling to mock? Just so I know, so I can answer. I'm going to answer you honestly, but are you serious? Do you genuinely want to know, or are you calling to mock?
No, I'm serious. What's the problem? Y'all are both against it, so why, you know?
Oh, there's vast differences. What do you mean by hate the thugs, though? Who are the thugs? I don't even know what you're talking about.
The SOGs, S-O-G-S, the SOGs, short for Sodom and Gomorrah, the SOGs.
I've never heard of that. Sorry. No, I love them.
The
I love the homosexual community. Jesus laid down his life for that community. I want to see them saved. Steven Anderson says they cannot be saved. I say the Lord is saving and forgiving them all the time. He rejoices when they're killed. I mourn when they're killed. He wants a national law to put them to death. I would oppose that wholeheartedly, strenuously. He believes the King James Bible is the only true Bible. I reject that completely. There are many, 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 many profound differences between us. But when it comes to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, yes, we both agree with the explicit testimony of Scripture that same-sex relationships and activity are sinful in God's sight. But he says they cannot be redeemed. I say they're redeemed all the time. He speaks of his hatred for them. I speak of my love for them. So profound, profound differences between us. Well, why would you even say
that?
It's curious to me, though, sir. If you've ever listened to me talk about this, even for 30 seconds, you'd know the profound differences that we have. I have a whole video critiquing him. I had another one of his associates, Roger Jimenez, on, have a whole video challenging him over this. So why would you even think that our positions are the same?
I'm just curious. Would there ever be a debate? Will you ever debate him on that or no?
Here's the problem with it. I probably would debate simply because he has a good size audience online. I probably would. The problem is there's so many differences we have already, and I don't respect his position on many things. He is a virulent anti-Semite. He's very dangerous in his anti-Jewish views and has a terribly destructive video online about that. And so some people I don't want to give a platform to, but since he already has one, what does God's word say about homosexual practice, or can homosexuals be saved? Yeah, I'd probably be open to debating that. I don't know if he would, but I'd definitely be open to considering that. I think the contrast would be clear, and perhaps I could reach those that identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender with the gospel, those that are put off by his message. Perhaps, yes, they have to repent and turn to the Lord, but perhaps they can hear the truth.
Dr. Brown, didn't Jesus kill the gays in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, if you want to say Jesus killed them, meaning that he killed people in Sodom and Gomorrah.
I mean, he's God the Father, right?
Well, hang on. Well, in that sense, he killed everybody in the Old Testament, right? So should we go around killing the Canaanites today? Should we, if people are worshiping idols, should we go around killing them today? Under the Old Testament, adulterers were put to death. Should we be putting adulterers to death today? Jesus said, if you think lustfully in your heart, you've committed adultery. Have you ever done that, sir? Should we put you to death? So I don't really know where your question is going, but are you in his camp? Is that, are you in harmony with his position?
No. I like hearing both sides. I like your side. I like hearing your side, his side. I like hearing your friend, what's the name? Alpha Omega Ministries.
James. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for that, and I was just probing because the question threw me a little. I was trying to understand where you're coming from. But if you want to say God put people to death in the Old Testament, well, there are a lot of people. The rebels were put to death. You know, unbelievers were put to death. Many people were put to death, but were not under the Sinai covenant. And Jesus has gone out of his way to lay his life down for a dying world. So, yes, there is hell, there is judgment, and there is future punishment, and the wrath of God, I believe, is poured out in the here and now as well. Absolutely. But in that sense, it's quite widespread. I would suggest, sir, that you look at what's written in Colossians 3 and in Ephesians 5, where Paul says, this is why the wrath of God is coming, and there are lists there. And homosexual practice is not singled out in those lists, just for your information. So yes, the biggest reason I speak about it often is because of the gay activism in our society and the destructive effect that has. But in terms of sinners, every sinner, needs salvation. Every sinner is under the wrath of God outside of Jesus and needs to come to the cross. But homosexual men and women, along with others of every different background, can be saved, can be born again, can be redeemed. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ben in Durham, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I just want to start by telling you I really like you. I just really enjoy your show, and I can relate to you, too. I read a little bit about your background with psychedelics and coming to faith in Christ, and so I feel in that way that I relate to you.
Got it.
And I appreciate your program.
Thank you, sir. With that being said, go for it.
Yep. Okay, man. All right. So the first, I want to tie two ideas together.
Yeah.
The first thing is, you know, when you said you're just not going to pay any mind to the kind of the bickering back and forth, I think that's a really good idea. It's almost like a person who just says, you know what, I've been doing this Facebook thing, and it's not really doing anything for my life, all this going back and forth. You know, I'm a new Christian. I've only been a Christian for about 3.5 years of my life, and one of the things I found that was pretty cool was that you can listen to good preaching on YouTube. I'd find good sermons and listen to them. But then in between, I'd see these weird videos of, like, Christian figures criticizing each other. And, you know, you kind of get hooked into this stuff, and you're talking about each other. And you realize it's sort of like an adult version of high school. It's like they're taking the same stupid stuff about high school and bringing it into the Christian world and just quarreling for the sake of quarreling, you know?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of folks think that they're doing good. In other words, they're concerned about error. And look, there's a lot of junk that needs to be confronted. But my reason, sir, for getting involved was because a lot of people are confused. And I have—
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Because of my background, I have folks that listen to us and follow us from a wide range of backgrounds. So I try to bring people answer questions. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I respond to maybe one out of every 1,000 things that's posted and comes against us. But for now, we just put that aside. And those with honest questions, we're always able to help. So anyway, I'm with you on that. Yeah, Thank you.
One of the things that, you know, that kept me from Christianity for so long was I had this weird view of Christians that they were these kind of perfect people. They were supposed to be these kind of perfect people. What I've learned is that a Christian is actually somebody who just realizes how messed up he is, you know? And so—
But don't you think, though, that there should be a difference in our lives, that we should be different than we used to be?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. But what I mean to say is that even as Christians, when we come across that stuff, the flesh, that side is still tempted,
you are right.
To get involved, you know?
You are very,
and so,
very,
like, there's a
very
difference
right.
between doing what you're talking about, you know, being an apologist and standing up for the faith, and then there's that other side where we become like little high schoolers, and I find myself doing it.
Yeah.
I get in the flesh and I want to look at these videos, and it's just stupid. So the other thing that I wanted to tie this into was this realistic view of humanity that a Christian has. Yes, we're new; all things have become, you know, old things are gone. We're new; we're new creations in Christ. But we have this realistic view of human beings, and so when we look at President Donald Trump, I think there's this false idea that we out here as born again Christians look at him and go, "Oh, he's this, you know, he's this figure, this figure that's come to usher in the new Christian age in America or something crazy like that." We realize that he's a screwed up guy, and that we're screwed up people that are in desperate need of God's grace. But here's the thing: you had a guy on a couple weeks ago that was talking about, you know, why he couldn't. He was a Christian guy. I can't remember his name. Why he couldn't go for Trump and all that kind of stuff, and why Christians shouldn't buy Donald Trump hook, line, and sinker. And he was saying that we kind of are doing that in mass. And where I disagreed is, here's the thing. You've got one party right now that is not only into killing babies, but they celebrate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Ben, let me just jump in because we have a break. That's the ultimate line. If you say, hey, look, there was a slaughter of the unborn, and one party is very much for it and even celebrating it, and the other is against it, then you put up with the blemishes and the other issues of the president. The question would be, one, in the past, didn't we always say character counts, and now we don't seem to say that? And two, to me, the big issue is not voting for the president. I plan to vote for him in 2020. as things stand. But if I defend him at every point, if I can't say, yeah, I don't like that. That was stupid. I wish you didn't do it. But here's why I'm voting. Hey, thank you for the call, Ben. God bless you, man.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I saw a comment a few minutes ago, I'm not sure if it was on Facebook or YouTube, asking if I was part of, quote, the fellowship or the family. I know there's some Netflix show about the family or some alleged evangelical conspiratorial group. I have no clue what it is, though. So if I'm part of it, I don't know it, just to let you know. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. Okay, special announcement. I am excited. Yeah, I am very excited, like years in the making excited, like someone that carried a baby for several years before being able to give birth. Yes, I got my advance copy today of the Job commentary. Oh, yeah. Officially be coming out next month, and we'll let you know about getting numbered signed copies if you want them for yourself or a holiday gift. And at the Big Apologetics Conference in Charlotte in, 3 weeks, we'll be releasing these. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. Hendrickson did a gorgeous job. I can't believe it's 450 pages, and it doesn't feel like that. And it's beautifully produced as Nancy was going through it. High quality paper. I mean, this is a nice book, okay? And it's a serious commentary with extended essays about like the problem of suffering or what would Job say to a sufferer or faith to challenge God and things like that. That's the subtitle of the book, The Faith to Challenge God. It's a brand new translation and a commentary. But it's not just for scholars. If you're a pastor, if you're a seminary student, but if you're just really serious about the Word and love the Word of God, you'll be able to read this, profit from it. Those interested in the problem of suffering, you'll be able to read it, learn from it. I think it's on sale for like half price at christianbook.com, just to let you know that. But we don't have it on our website yet, all right? But I was very excited. I'm thrilled. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. What a privilege. What a privilege to work on a book of the Bible. I have a commentary I wrote on Jeremiah a few years ago. But with Job, we did a new translation as well. So it's a privilege and an honor. I literally got down on my knees and thanked God for the privilege and held the book up before him. So those that have prayed for grace along the way, my appreciation, and my appreciation to all those at Hendrickson for doing a great job getting this out. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I have opened the phones to all manner of calls today. And as I mentioned at the outset of the broadcast, for someone said, well, you opened the phones to critics yesterday and only took one call. Only got one call. Yeah, today phone lines are jammed. But as happens over and over and over and over and over again, well, I'll do a show and say, look, if you are critical of this position, if you differ with me on this position, please call. Almost no one calls. Now, when I'll do like a theological controversy day, for example, why I don't believe in a preterite rapture, please call if you differ with me on that. We'll get a lot of calls for that kind of thing. But when I'll invite critics to call, those that regularly post against me, attack me, and it doesn't happen. But if you missed yesterday's show, please take the time to go through it, especially if you've been following some of the interaction with Justin Peters and me. And may the Lord's grace and blessing flood his life in every way. If you've missed any of that, please take the time to listen to yesterday's show. And the day before that, where we talked about love. Yeah, I didn't go racing through that. Let's open the scriptures and talked about it. Okay, going to go to the phones in one moment, but I posted an article today, Donald Trump, the champion of religious freedom. Donald Trump, the champion of religious freedom. I know there's a lot of talk today about the Ukraine call. We talked about that earlier. I'm doing a Twitter poll right now asking the question, do you think now that the transcript is out with the Ukraine call that it's a smoking gun? This is it. We got him or no big deal. And I asked folks, hey, let me know if you voted for Trump or not. What's interesting? Is on my Twitter poll so far. Very, very interesting. Only 79 votes. It just put it out a few minutes ago. But what's interesting is that among Trump voters, right, 70% say no big deal, 10% say smoking gun. So 7-1 say no big deal. among those who didn't vote for Trump, it's almost 50-50. So that would indicate to me that perhaps someone looking at it more impartially would say, no big deal. Very interesting. We shall see. All right. So June 2016, President Trump, or candidate Trump then, met with 900 to 1,000 evangelical leaders in New York City. I was invited. A friend was able to invite me to be part of that. I couldn't go, but I had plenty of friends there. They gave me their comments on it, you know, those that were sold, those that weren't. But he promised that he would really defend our liberties. And of course, I was very skeptical about it then. And he was just trying to get our votes. But as time went on, it's like, no, he has fought for our liberties. There's no question. Now, he convened a special gathering of the UN for the first time with a call for religious freedom. So here's what he said. Today, with one clear voice, the United States of America calls upon the nations of the world to end religious persecution, stop the crimes against people of faith, release prisoners of conscience, repeal laws restricting freedom of religion and belief, protect the vulnerable, the defenseless, and the oppressed. And it has been widely reported online, Donald Trump has become the first U.S. president to ever host a meeting at the United Nations on religious freedom. He drew attention especially to Christians. An open door watch list recently published indicates 11 Christians a day are killed for following the teaching of Christ. And by the way, that's got to be a conservative number. It would probably not include those killed in the midst of wars and things like that, even when it could be a religious issue. But he drew attention to that. But he also spoke about Muslims and Jews killed for their faith. He said in 2016, an 85-year-old Catholic priest was viciously killed while celebrating Mass in Normandy, France. In the past year, the United States endured horrifying anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish Americans at synagogues in Pennsylvania and California. In March, Muslims praying with their families were sadistically murdered in New Zealand. On Easter Sunday this year, terrorists bombed Christian churches in Sri Lanka, killing hundreds of faithful worshipers. Who would believe this is even possible? All right, so I'm really pleased that the president made those comments. I'm really pleased that he stood up as he did. And in my article, I expressed hope that he would stand up to Prime Minister Modi of India, which is now number 10 for the first time that Open Doors has been doing a watch list of persecution worldwide. India, for the first time, is in the top 10. Things have really escalated there. And he's recently referred to Prime Minister Modi as the father of India because of his uniting the nation. But the fact is, persecution has greatly increased, and Modi has made clear he wants India to be a Hindu nation. Many of my Indian friends and colleagues and others I've spoken to in higher places really believe that if the president would say to the Prime Minister of India, you've got to stop this, that he would actually back down. And I do believe the president is quite aware of what's happening. You say, well, he's the president. He should be. Right, right. But I've also been in touch with people who have access to him who've told me that they are presenting these issues and they're major issues of concern. What about China? The crackdown there is severe. Well, the president yesterday spoke to China and said, we're watching what happens in Hong Kong. We're watching. There are headlines, U.S. pressures China on Hong Kong, the Uyghurs. Those are Muslims that are being interned, maybe as many as a million in China, and trade. So the president has spoken up. You say, what about the Christians in China? Let him speak up about the Muslims in China, too. That's fine. Let him say we're watching and we are pushing back. And just so you know, the attack on religious liberties here in America continues. There's a report from a few days ago. Christian shop closed by Etsy, or just from yesterday, for refusing to remove statement on biblical marriage. This is a shop that makes head covering scarves for women who feel it's important to cover their heads and worship based on 1 Corinthians 11 or other principles of modesty, or it could just be style, you know. So they've sold on this site, Etsy, which I'm not familiar with, but the organization Garlands of Grace, a Christian shop that creates beautiful head coverings, scars for women who seek to honor their convictions, according to understanding 1 Corinthians 11. So on their Facebook post, they said this: after 12 years as sellers on Etsy.com, Etsy has suspended the Garlands of Grace Etsy shop In our shop profile, we stood by Jesus Christ in his word with the following statement. Our shop stands for traditional biblical marriage, one man plus one woman, and then quotes from King James, 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. Etsia said that in order to have our account reinstated, we must remove this content as soon as possible. As a company honoring Jesus Christ and his word is our foremost goal, we will not be removing his word from our profile in order to be reinstated on Etsy.com. So number one, God bless them for saying, we're not going to compromise our convictions for the sake of sales. God bless them for that. And look, this could be livelihood for a homeschooling family, for a group of people, or who knows? They could really pay for this. That's the first thing. We're going to honor God. Second thing, whether that's your favorite scripture or not, it's Bible. It's the words of Paul. It's biblical truth, all right? To say you can't post that because it offends people, then that is effectively outlawing the public practice of the faith. They're saying if you publicly hold to biblical beliefs, you'll be punished for it. And then the Alliance Defending Freedom has another story about a young lady, Alana, and it says, meet the latest star standing up for women's opportunities in sports. So here's a high school student, loves to run, and is doing very well in races, but there's a problem. She can't beat boys. So when boys identify as girls and beat her in races, she could be blocked out of a scholarship. She could go, say, from getting in the top three, right? So you know, say it's the Olympics, it's gold, silver, bronze, right? Top three, fourth, you don't get a medal. So being in the top three, you now are four, you're bumped off. Or it could be being the top in your state to now being the second in your state. And maybe there are limited scholarships to the schools you want to get into. And if you're top in your state, you're in. So these are consequential issues. And these are battles being fought every single day. And President Trump has consistently been on the right side of these issues. For all of his flaws and shortcomings, this is another reason why I voted for him and why I applaud the positive things he is doing. And I would hope, whether you voted for Trump or would never vote for Trump, I would hope that you are cheering him on as he stands for religious freedoms. And let me say it again. If a family that was going to be tortured to death doesn't get tortured to death and instead is able to thrive in their religious faith over in India or China or some other oppressive country, I think they'll be thanking God for President Trump and not saying, yeah, but some of his tweets are mean. Not diminishing the power of words. I'm simply saying there's some life and death issues out there, and I'm thankful the president is standing on the right side of them. All right, we come back straight, I mean straight, to your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to the phones. Destiny in Illinois, thanks for holding. Welcome to the line of fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. I just had a question about certain organizations that Christians should support.
Yes.
Okay, so I really like to support Israel, mm-hmm. and I believe like the best way to bless them is to share the gospel mm-hmm. with them. And so I was just curious, there are some organizations that help Holocaust survivors and things like that. They do, and I just wanted to know if I should only support like the strictly Christians ones that do that, or would it be ethical to support ones that just, you know, do it in general?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly it's always ethical to help those in need. It's always ethical to help those that are suffering, even if you don't come with a direct gospel message. But here's the best of both worlds. Together for Israel. All right, look them up. Together for Israel. TFI, remember that, Together for Israel. Okay. When you give to Together for Israel, they will pour the money into needy believers and needy secular Israelis, Arab Israelis. They'll pour the funds in to help them, needy children, but they will do it in Yeshua's name, and they will make it known that this help came from Christians. One of my closest friends on the planet, Scott Volk, leads this. I work with him day and night whenever we can do conferences together. Together for Israel. They put our tours together when we go to Israel. So that's the place to give, because it'll cover both things. It'll cover the humanitarian and it'll cover the spiritual. Now, here's the other thing you need to know. Let's say you gave money to the late Rabbi Yehiel Eckstein's organization, International Fellowship for Christians and Jews, whatever the specific name was, now run by his daughter. Did the money go where he said it would go? Yes, yes. Helping poor Holocaust survivors and Jewish emigres from Ukraine and Russia and things like that. Yes. However, from everything I understand, the people receiving the money never knew it came from Christians. They never knew it. When he passed away last year at his funeral, a colleague of mine was there and said virtually not a word was said about the hundreds of millions of dollars that Christians gave or Christian love for Israel. And on the ground, when the people are getting the funds, they have no idea that Christians who love the Jewish people gave sacrificially. And why that's so important is because many of them have had a negative view of Christians. Maybe they were persecuted by professing Christians in their former countries. Maybe they associate the Holocaust with Christianity. How redemptive and life-changing it could be if they knew where the money was going. The other thing is, some of the money that's given even to Christian organizations that support Israel ends up going to Orthodox Jewish schools where the children are trained in ways that will go in the opposite direction in terms of the gospel. So if you give to something like Together for Israel, I've been on the ground and seen the fruit of it, and it's shocking and mind-boggling. But here, I was with Scott. We were in one particular city, and they had put about $150,000, $200,000 into completely renovating this center for children of impoverished families. So they renovated the whole place, got a new computers. They replaced the park, little park. The kids just came running in, running up and down things, bouncing around. They were blown away. And then here's the Orthodox Jewish mayor of the city, and here's the rabbi. And here is Scott saying, this has been done with the help of Christians around the world who love Israel. So that's the way to do it, all right? In my opinion, that's the way to do it.
Thank you so much for that resource, and I just really appreciate and love you. Okay.
Well, thank you, Destiny. Thank you so much. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, go to my website now if you haven't signed up yet for our Israel tour, May 2020. Yeah, this is a perfect time of the year to go. We only have two buses. That's it. One's filled, the second's being filled. So it's intimate. You get to know folks. We spend amazing time together. It's an incredible tour. Great hotels, great tour, but best of all, in the land. Wow, it's amazing. So go to AskDrBrown.org, check out more, and if you can come, get your deposit in. All right, we go back to the phones. In New York, Ariel, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hi, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
I just had a quick question, really. It's about salvation. The question is, if God comes in the rapture, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say I sinned, and would I stay, or would I be saved?
The same thing, the return of Jesus, or if we died in the midst of it, right? Let's say someone got depressed and got drunk and they died in that state, or Jesus came back during that moment. Would they be saved or lost? So let me ask you this, Ariel. When you came to faith, when you were saved, when you were born again, was it that you stopped all the sinning, or that you truly look to the Lord to have mercy on you and save you?
I truly look to the Lord.
Right. And then after that, there was a change of life, correct?
Correct.
Have you lived a perfect day since then where you have loved God perfectly and loved your neighbor perfectly and never sinned on any level in your thought, in your attitude for a whole day?
To be honest with you, no.
Yeah, same here. Of course. Every day you start with it. And even on the best day, we're not aware of our failures. And probably in our best day, we got proud. Right. So the point is, we're not saved or lost because of a specific sin we did or didn't commit. All right. And every day we fall short on some level. We're saved or lost based on turning to the Lord or rejecting him. So I do believe someone can forfeit their salvation, but it's not a matter of if they mess up, you know, they lose their temper, someone cuts them off on the road and they slam on the horn, you jerk, you idiot, and then they get in the car wreck and they die. They don't lose their salvation because of that. It's not the best way to go into the presence of the Lord, but you don't lose your salvation because of that. But if someone rejects the Lord and says, God, I don't want you anymore, Jesus, I deny you, I turn away from you, I choose my sin, and they died in that state, yes, they would be lost, all right? And you say, yeah, but whenever I sin, aren't I doing it on a certain level? No, not on that level. You know, you might just be struggling or weak or double-minded, but it would take, just like you turn to the Lord and receive mercy from him, you would have to turn away from him and renounce him and deny him and then choose to live without him, to forfeit your salvation. So, yes, we seek to please God every moment of every day. And the thought of him returning, John tells us, everyone that has this hope, the hope of the return of Jesus, purifies himself even as he, Jesus, is pure. So knowing we're going to stand before him, be with him, be changed, that's an incentive to holy living. Absolutely, yes, without question. However, at the same time, we recognize that we don't lose our salvation over a specific sin or forfeit our salvation because we were in a bad place the moment that we died. So be at peace before God, but then out of that, strive to please him with all of your being. Hey, my brother, thank you so much for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Cary, North Carolina. Time is short, so please dive right in.
Yeah, thanks for your program. It's Luke 8:52, Jesus said she wasn't sleeping. Clearly she was dead. Jesus said she wasn't dead. Clearly she was dead. What's going on there?
Yeah, so from number one, he uses this terminology about sleeping versus dying elsewhere. Okay, for example, in John the 11th chapter. So John the 11th chapter with Lazarus and Lord, the one who you love is sick. And then he says, the sickness will not end in death. But there's a dialogue there. And they said, you know, he's sleeping. Oh, if it's good, he's sleeping. He said, no, he's dead. He's trying to make it plain there. But bottom line is that from God's perspective, even though she was physically dead, because she was about to be raised from the dead, from God's perspective, it was just like she was sleeping. She closed her eyes, and she's about to wake back up. So it's only because he was going to raise her from the dead, only from his perspective that could be said. From every other perspective, she was dead. She was physically dead. That's why they tell, hey, don't bother the teacher anymore. She's dead. That's why everyone's mourning and wailing. But it's not that Jesus knew, no, she just swooned. She's in a coma. No, she was literally dead. She's raised from the dead, but the bottom line is that from God's perspective, because she's going to be raised from the dead, she was just asleep. Now, Eric, real quick, and I apologize, sir, if there's more to your question, because I'm out of time, but I just wanted to get to the call while I had the chance. But let me say this real quick. Remember the New Testament terminology for believers, that when we die, we're sleeping. Why are believers, the world, the unsaved, when they die, they're not sleeping, they're dead. But it says that we're sleeping. Why? Because we're going to be raised. So that's the same thing kind of in a mini way here. She's sleeping. Why? Because she's about to be raised. So even when we die, we're sleeping. We're going to be raised. Okay, listen. All of you who believe that under the Noahide laws that Jews are going to be killing Christians around the world, if you believe that, please call with your evidence tomorrow on 30 Jewish Thursday. Back with you.